Welcome to Talking Giants presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. Got our linebacker preview. A deep class, not necessarily the biggest need for the Giants, but a class. I love all these guys. There's not really anybody I talk about that I just don't like at all. And we left people off that I like too. So, and we got a redraft of pick 183. We're getting a little late in the draft. We're in round six. Justin, how are you?
Bobby Skinner, what? 9 days until the draft now. Fun, exciting. I wanna do it. It's not that I'm done just talking about it and preparing for it, because the positions that we have left are very important. But I want to get into it. I want to talk about the guys. I want these guys to be Giants. I want to root for them with all my heart. And we're going to be live streaming for like 12, 13 hours draft weekend, and I'm very excited for that.
I can't wait, because like you said, let's not pat ourselves on the back too much, but we work hard at this. Like, we put in a ton of work prepping for this, and that day of feeling is like the best feeling in the world. And that's why it's like, hey, come Monday, we are done prepping. We're going to, like we told people, we'll go, if you want us to come on your show that week, we will come on your show. We will do as many shows as possible that week. Because we just want to talk about what we've already done, and then the draft comes, and then, you know, that's probably the busiest week and a half is after the draft, because we're, you know, doing the undrafted free agent stuff too. But it's fun. It's really starting to get fun and getting antsy for it. And I think talking about interior offensive linemen got that going in us a little bit last week, because it's like, this is real deal. Other things that are real deal, Justin.
Oh, do we have new Patreons?
They're real deal people.
I don't think we had any new Patreons.
They're very real deal people, though. We have a lot of people in the Patreon chat right now hanging out with us. Yep. It's like 10 o'clock at night.
Yep. No new Patreons. All right. The Giants hosted Jason McCourty. DB from the Patriots, obviously, you know, he was like someone you wanted last year, I think, Justin.
No, I wanted Devin McCourty, so it's very easy to mix the two up. Devin McCourty's a safety. Jason McCourty at this point is very much a backup corner, but he's a very good depth piece for a backup corner if the Giants were to bring him in. He apparently left, like, they left on, like, good terms, and they could return for another conversation, but he left without a deal.
He probably wants to go back to New England, you know, and is, like, waiting and... Or maybe the Giants are waiting till after the draft, or post June 1st. I don't know. There's a bunch of different things they could probably be doing.
He better not be using us as pawns. I don't appreciate that.
You know, with Jason McCourty, it wouldn't bother me too much. But it would be interesting. You know, good depth. You know, we need it there. Have McCourty and Yadam as backup corners. I think he'd feel really good. But again, we'll wait till that happens to really dive deep into Jason McCourty. Because if they sign Jason McCourty after the draft, I'll spend 8 hours. I'll do a film breakdown. If they sign him tomorrow, you know, I'm going to go watch one game of film, not do a breakdown, and look up advanced stats, and that'll be our takes on Jason McCourty for life. You know, and then I'll spend one random day in July diving deep on Jason McCourty. Other news. Sandra Platt's going to be brought back. Not really news. You know, he's through the international program, so it's a free roster spot. So, you know, he doesn't count against the 53-man or the 90-man. But anyway, Sandra Plaskin, we're back. He's back, baby.
Back in the, Art Stapleton said, back in the New Jersey groove, which I didn't like that. It felt dirty.
I always just, you know, it's one of those things that our listeners probably get annoyed at, but I love bringing up, like, hey, my, you know, one of my best friends made him fumble twice in one game.
It's true. This is a true story. We interviewed him. We interviewed that player.
We did. We had the exclusive. That was fun. That was so perfect, and I know I've told this story again, but that made me so happy last year. It's like, we do all our research. We have nothing on this guy. It's like, nope. I have a friend who literally has film of this guy's games. All right. We got to do the redraft before we talk about the linebackers, Justin. So we are at pick 183, the sixth round pick. This segment, you know, I'm not as proud of this segment as last year's Carolina draft class analysis.
No, this
segment is
bad. This is bad. It's a bad segment.
I know. We did not plan out. But you know me. Once I start something, we got to finish it. Maybe the next episode, we'll just do the whole seventh round at once. And we'll just leave
get
next week clear. Because we're going to be talking about wide receivers for a long time. All right. To recap, I have went Andrew Thomas, Chase Claypool, Alton Robinson, Darnay Holmes, and Michael Onwenu. Justin has went Justin Jefferson, Xavier McKinney, Tyree Phillips, a horrible offensive lineman, Darnay Holmes, and Michael Onwenu. So both of our last two picks have been the same. Last year, in my mock draft, I had Miami cornerback Trajan Bandy. You had corner or guard Keith Ishmael. Remember him from San Diego State? Ooh,
where did he go?
Washington. He played 4 snaps all year.
Oh, good player.
Boom. Johnny's outdid us on this one. They did better than we both did. They drafted Cam Brown. That being said, Justin, I'll let you go first. Who are you drafting? Who are you drafting with your sixth pick of the 2020 NFL draft? Are you trusting the Giants' instincts and
no.
betting on the potential that Cam Brown has, or are we going other ways?
No. I'm not huge on Cam Brown. I'm not. I know a lot of people are going to get upset about that, but I'm not. And I'm taking advantage of a rich wide receiver class. My offensive line is horrible. I know that. I recognize that. but here's my theory. Jason Garrett's going to get his wide receivers in the building, and he's going to get them in the room, and he's going to be like, you know what? I got these guys that can take the top off of defense. I got Justin Jefferson, and we're going to be adding Donovan Peoples-Jones.
From Michigan. Thought you would go. I was tempted to go Donovan Peoples-Jones, but I, you know, I had Chase Claypool. I got, you know, Slayton Shepp. Even I had Golden Tate too. So Donovan Peoples-Jones. How did he do this year?
He's the guy that taught me. He wasn't that great. He didn't do that great. There was some plays. I'm pretty sure when we played the Giants, where it was noteworthy. It's funny how his kick and punt returns come up first before his receiving and his rushing. He had 14 receptions on 20 targets, 304 yards, 10 first downs. Did he even have a touchdown? He had 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
70% catch rate. So, I mean, not a bad rookie year. Cleveland has a pretty stacked, pretty good roster for what this guy was, a 6th-round pick. I have learned that if there is a talented player coming out of Michigan or coming out of Penn State or coming from one of these horribly offensive Big Ten teams, give them a little bit more of a leeway, because odds are they're talented, but their universities and their football teams just did not know how to use them.
So you're calling dibs on Nico Collins for the wide receiver episode?
Ooh, I guess I am. I guess that was my subliminal way to do that.
All right, speaking of Big Ten schools, I'm going out of Ohio State. And this is a guy we talked about last year, and I think both of us kind of liked him. And he was last year's everyone's 7th-round draft pick in their mock drafts. You know, and I was like, is he going to go 7th-round? Well, he ended up going 7th-round. Safety, Jordan Fuller. 6'2", 203 pounds, played 69% of the snaps for the Rams. Nice. He missed 4 games. So he was a full-time starter for the Rams, had 60 tackles, 3 interceptions, 34th in total AV for the, you know, the draft class. So essentially, you know, early second rounder, more than guys like Tua, more than Isaiah Simmons. So I'm getting an early second rounder to finish off the 6th round in Jordan Fuller. And I didn't waste the pick, no offense, on Xavier McKinney when I could have went, you know, Chase Claypool and how to, you know, took an offensive lineman in the first round.
That's where I screwed myself. 100%.
Yeah, you didn't have foresight. I used my hindsight and my foresight. Like, I literally, what I did is I went through the whole draft at once and I wrote down 6-7 names and I was like, how do I piece this together to fill every hole on my team?
And I tried to do it correctly and go round by round, but no.
No, I this is how I win.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler gif. All right. Let's talk about the linebackers.
Let's talk about the linebackers. But first, Bobby Skinner. You know who put on a show this weekend? Masid Val. Said that wrong. And Usman. They put on a show last time they stepped into the octagon. Round 2 is sure to pack a punch. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 26-1 odds on either title contender to reign victorious. I'm pretty sure there's like 3 title fights. I saw an advertisement for that. Pretty cool stuff for the UFC. Pick either main event fighter to win during the weekend's UFC 261 title. And DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 26-1 odds. Just bet $5 on either fighter to win. And if they walk out with the belt, you will cash in $130. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry if MMA is for you. They have other sports. DraftKings has a whole bunch of other sports, including John Boy's dumb prop bets of the day. I find that to be very cool that our boss has his own prop bets every single day for Major League Baseball. So, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy when you sign up to turn $5 into $130. If the title contender of your choice wins, place your bet and watch the fists fly this weekend. That's code JOHNBOY to turn $5 and $130 if the fighter of your choosing takes home the crown for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Linebackers.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
All right, let's talk about this linebacker class. It's a very interesting position for the Giants, Justin. One, the reason the linebacker class is in the meat of this episode, I don't think it's a huge need, although, you know, you can always upgrade from a guy like Tay Crowder and Reggie Ragland, who, you know, are their number two and three next to Blake Martinez. But I don't think we all, any of us, view it as a huge need. But you can put someone there. And then two, this class is deep, man. Like, I think this might be, like, my favorite, like, top 10 players. Wide receiver, maybe. But this might be, like, any position group, my favorite top 10 players is inside linebacker. Like, I was putting together my top 10. I was like, man, it sucks to put that guy at 11 and that guy at 12 because I can, you know, someone's going to ask me, where's that guy? And I'm going to feel good about it. So it's a weird spot, but I think it's a very fun position this year.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of guys are versatile, right? You have some guys that are kind of like a jack of all trades. You know, JOK we're going to be talking about from Notre Dame. I feel like Browning from Ohio State, they play in a lot of versatile roles. But then you have your kind of pure interior linebackers, like two guys on, or one guy on my list is Collins. And then you also have Micah Parsons, who is like your pure like interior linebacker. I mean, he's like a field general in that regard. So a lot of versatility amongst this linebacker group. It's fun. It's fun. Fun class to look at.
And that position is really a wide open position for Patrick Graham's defense because we have the good D line in front of Blake Martinez. You don't need to be like the smartest player. You kind of just got to come in, fill your role, do your job, fill gaps, play aggressive, and you fit in that role well. Now you can't be bad at it, you know, like a Devontae Downs, but we saw Tay Crowder come in, who, you know, me and you both love Tay Crowder, and I'm about to love one of his teammates, by the way. But he kind of raw and he fit in really well. So I'm excited to talk about it. But first we're going to talk about someone who's not raw and who wouldn't need to, you know, play a small role or just play his role. Somebody who can do a ton. And I'm talking about the cream of the crop for this linebacker class, a top 10 talent and A+ player, Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State, 6'2", 245 pounds, opted out of the 2020 season with the COVID. But in 2019, he had 109 tackles, 14 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks. 2018, 82 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, 1.5 sacks. Unreal speed and explosion. This dude is an athlete with strength. Unreal speed and explosion that gets to the ball. He sees ball, gets ball. Quick feet to shed offensive linemen with his hands, with strength, but also can do the juke thing. I remember with Isaiah Simmons and you know, the guy we're going to talk about next, it's like, they can juke offensive linemen, but sometimes they'll struggle with a physical offensive lineman if they get caught up. Parsons is that mix of both, and that's why he's number one on this list. Hits gaps hard and splits them up between offensive linemen. Flexible, can jump gaps easily. I think he's a pretty high IQ player with room to grow, you know, where he's not, you know, like we said with the Giants, it's like just play your gap and go. Micah Parsons doesn't need to be that. He's a guy who can play, you know, he can two gap. Smart player diagnosing, real pass rush ability. I don't really buy into the, oh, he's an edge in the NFL. He's a top edge. I would need to see it to believe it, but I wouldn't be surprised. Now, in coverage, he doesn't have a ton of coverage experience, and they didn't ask much out of him. But with all those things I just said and good coaching, there's no reason to not think that he wouldn't be good at coverage in the NFL. Justin, Micah Parsons is the real deal. My worry is, not even a worry, it's like if we drafted him, I feel like he wouldn't be able to live up to all his abilities because he's next to Blake Martinez behind that good D-line. Yep. He's just play that gap and go. But he'd also would thrive at it and be amazing at it.
Yeah, the problem with Micah Parsons at 11, which a lot of people are on that train, and I honestly, I don't blame you if you're there. Because I talked about this guy back in May. And it's a shame that we didn't get a chance to see him possibly develop some more of those coverage skills because he didn't have any interceptions in 2019, but he did drop 2 interceptions. And Bobby, he's only really, he was really only a full-time starter since 2019. And a full-time starter in 2019 in terms of being an interior linebacker. And he was recruited out of high school as a defensive end. So that's where a lot of people like to talk about with, you know, combining the inexperience at interior linebacker, really only having one full season, plus being recruited out of high school as a defensive end. I think that's where a lot of people were thinking that he could possibly be an edge. But I think that was a conversation maybe for about 1 or 2 weeks. And then I haven't heard it since. Micah Parsons is an edge at the pro level. It was kind of just like a draft talking point. But
he can play he'll play edge reps, you know? Like, yeah. You know, Patrick, like, he'll play edge reps. But just like, hey, you are the same position Lorenzo Carter, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, David Mayo played some edge reps against Seattle because we barely had any edge rushers, but Patrick Graham is willing to do it. But you're right. Your last point, I think, is the most important point about the Giants are a team that does like to play with three safeties, and there is a value to having three safety looks in today's NFL. And if you draft Micah Parsons, we're not talking about drafting an interior linebacker round 2, 3, 4, and on. We're talking about drafting an interior linebacker possibly at pick 11, and you better use that guy. Like, his snap share better be up. Now, you can make the argument that Blake Martinez isn't going to be around forever, so that Micah Parsons is a guy that he would be your franchise linebacker, right? He would be here for the next 10 to 15, like, you know, 10 years, you would hope. And I can get behind that argument, but it would be tough in terms of the first couple years that he was here. As long as we have a very strong safety room, plus we have Blake Martinez, plus we have, you know, the hog mollies up front that we trust to plug up those holes where you don't need a couple linebackers on the field at one time, it would be tough for him to fit on this defense.
I just think it's like, it's the role would be like, play this gap and go. I think he would play 80%+ of the snaps right away because we do run more of a 3-3-5. And because he does have edge abilities where it's like, hey, even when you want to, when you're doing three linebackers and you only want the one in the middle with Blake, you put Parsons on one edge and then the rotation of the other cast. I mean, there's nobody we're going to be crying is not getting enough reps because Lorenzo Carter's taking outside linebacker reps. So there's that. But he's my number one defensive player for the Giants on you know, when, you know, my big board. Now there's six offensive players ahead of him, but he is the number one defensive player on, like, my Giants big board, because I do think he comes in and makes an immediately huge impact. And, you know, barring health with other positions, I think he is one of two missing pieces, which is that second inside linebacker. I like Tate Crowder, but, like, I don't think we ever think Crowder's going to be the top-notch, you know, Pro Bowl linebacker. And edge. And he doesn't fill both of those, but he does play you be a little more versatile too.
No, Parsons is the only defensive player that if we were to take him, I'm not at least scratching my head. There are some, like, you know, if the Giants really want to reach for an edge and go Ojulari, right? If they really want to reach for an edge or go Rousseau and Phillips, I'm not slamming my microphone in my head and my face. But I'm confused and I'm scratching my head and I'm not sure what my reaction's going to be. But Parsons is the guy where I'm like, yep. Okay, cool. Like, they have a vision for this guy, and we know that there's collaboration between management and the coaching staff now, and Joe Judge and Patrick Graham. They clearly see that this guy's going to be a good fit, so let's rock and roll with them, and I would love it.
Yeah, he's a top 10 talent. He's a top 10 talent.
Yep.
So, all right, Micah Parsons, and there's character issue. And until people tell me what those are, and I'm not saying they're not real, until people tell me what that means, I can't use that as a talking point. So
I think he wasn't he like cleared from that?
Yeah, all that stuff. It seems that he got cleared on. I think what people talk about is like maybe some immaturity.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's only been a full time starter since 2019, and he opted out of 2020.
Coach KL should know him. So that means, you know, there's some guys where it's like, hey, he's immature, and there's other guys just like he'll be a headache. Now, at linebacker, I think they could be less than a headache than maybe other positions. But anyways, if Coach Chaos signs off on it, we're good. And Pat Flaherty spent a year there too.
That's right. That's very true. All right, you ready for my first guy, Bobby Skinner?
Yes, I am.
JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Pronounce that right.
Did you really? Okay, because I've just been going JOK.
No, I made sure that I wanted to say his name right once. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I said it twice because I know I'm saying it right, and I'm very bad with names. So he's from Notre Dame, 6'1", 221 pounds. I had quite the interesting weekend with Notre Dame. My plus-plus category, he's one of the best pure athletes in this draft class. Quickness and short area bursts is like a running back. He's able to get skinny and avoid blocks to make plays in the backfield, and he has a great track record of making plays behind the line of scrimmage as well. And as soon as I'm reading this, as I got too excited to get my plus-plus category, speaking of making plays behind the line of scrimmage, JOK in 2019 had 13.5 tackles for loss. He had 11 tackles for loss in 2020, total of 80 tackles in 2019, 62 in 2020, 5.5 sacks in 2019, 1.5 sacks in 2020. Great track record making plays behind the line of scrimmage. And I definitely think, Bobby, that this will transfer to the pro level. He has taken more reps as a slot corner than an interior linebacker, but I feel it's very important to talk about his role at Notre Dame because of how versatile he is. And I watched Brett Coleman's video on this, so you know I'm referring to him. This isn't just my brain saying this. So JOK would always line up on the field side of the play, meaning like the wide side. The wide side of the field. If there was a slot wide receiver on that wide side on the field side, he would line up in front of him. If the slot wide receiver was on the opposite side of the field side, he would line up in the box. He would line up as your typical in the box linebacker. So as a slot cornerback, he would constantly be on the lookout for screens and swing passes, and he would always be ready to pounce in the run game as well. Even though he would line up as a slot cornerback, it always seemed like he had the expectation that if there was a run play, he would still be able to come up and make the play. But also, while having that responsibility, he also has insane coverage skills and the ability to keep up with wide receivers like Devonta Smith. By plus category, he plays with a high motor at all times, only one speed. Because of this, he has some solid potential as a blitzer as well at the pro level. 5.5 sacks in 2019. Forces fumbles left and right. He forced 5 fumbles in the last 2 years, and he's recovered 4. My minus category, he's a home run hitter. Like I said, he has one speed. It can sometimes cost him because he's going to whiff on some plays. However, from the games that I watched, that was rare. He has the athleticism to stop on a dime and adjust at least slowing down the ball carrier, even if he is going to whiff on some plays. Does not have a lot of snaps inside the box compared to other linebackers in this class, only 200 around this year. He's a little small, and the role is unclear. However, Bobby Skinner, even with his unclear role, I don't have the same critique of JOK as I did about, like, let's say Isaiah Simmons. Okay. I think JOK can fit into like this hybrid cornerback in the box defender. We saw that when Darnay Holmes was out, how often Xavier McKinney was in the slot, how often Logan Ryan was in the slot, while also being safeties in the NFL level. And if a team has a weak secondary unit, for example, JOK can transform their defense because he can line up as both like that slot corner while also have that expectation of being an in-the-box linebacker and coming up and making plays in the run game.
See, I view it the same as Isaiah Simmons, where it's like all these traits. And this is where I think Micah Parsons sets himself apart, is JOK is crazy. He's insane. It's nuts. But if an offensive lineman does get his hands on him and gets the right angle, He wins that battle. Like once you're on him, he's easily blocked. Where if Parsons fights through and has that good hand fight, and not to say JOK won't learn that, but right now I do think he'll have some Isaiah Simmons issues if he's not put on the right team. And that's my worry with the Giants, is we kind of have that role already with like Jabril Peppers, who, you know, a lot of people have made that point, including Tim Coffey, whose mom is actually a linebacker. They I don't know. I don't think he's a guy you just put at inside linebacker. Like, I don't think he plays the same position as Tay Crowder. And I don't think he's going to take over what Jabril Peppers does. Then do a three safety. So, he's an awesome player, but I do think he's going to have some of the same issues that Isaiah Simmons had as a rookie. Now that's not to say that both of those players aren't going to be great. You know, rookie season isn't indicative of who you are, but like, it is a different game, you know, where it's like, is he going to be playing slot corner? Like, it's at the end of the day, he's probably just going to be playing linebacker.
Well, the difference between Simmons and JOK is, at least when JOK wasn't lining up as like an interior linebacker and quote unquote, he was still playing like a position you would play in the NFL. And it was, you know, and think of whenever we would see Xavier McKinney, Jabril Peppers, you know, with this Giants defense in 2020, whenever we would see them line up in the slot, they're still considered kind of safeties. So That's why I think JOK, he could very well, an NFL team can draft him and be like, yeah, you're going to play interior linebacker, which that's very likely. But if you have a team that is very adventurous and maybe feels like the Giants in years past where, hey, we just don't trust our slot corner. So the less reps that we can have a slot corner out there, and maybe we can just have JOK do both, because I really think he can do both, like cover a slot guy out there. Plus have the expectation that he can come up and make plays in the run game. So that's where I feel like he's different from Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons played like a different position because he was closer to the line of scrimmage. He was like in the middle of the field, like in between where the safeties would play, but also behind the linebacker. So he played like a new position, but JOK doesn't really do that. So that's why I feel like if an NFL team can use him creatively in that way.
Yeah, it definitely can happen. I just do think, even if that does happen, I do think he's going to have issues that Isaiah Simmons had year one. And I view Simmons as a better prospect, and I still like, I don't think anyone should give up on Simmons. I think there's a lot there, and when you're doing something different, it takes a little time, especially in the NFL. All right, JOK. Next on my list, everybody knows I love this guy. This is my guy. UNC linebacker Chaz Surratt. Now, he is 24 years old, but he's linebacker young. 6'1", 227 pounds, but not great size. But as we go through this list, you're going to realize linebackers are getting smaller and smaller. Like we just mentioned, you know, JOK, Micah Parsons. You're going to talk about Zaven Collins next. Those guys are, there's a reason those guys are the top three, is because they can do all these things and play with that size. Linebackers are small. But anyways, Chaz Surratt, my guy. As a senior in 11 games, 91 tackles, 7.5 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks and a pick. In 2019, 13 games. First time playing linebacker after transferring from quarterback. I know everyone knows that by now, but it's a big deal. First year playing linebacker, had 115 tackles, 15 tackles for a loss, 6.5 sacks and a pick. Was the ACC player of the year. And why do I love him? Well, because he plays fast and aggressive. Now, he may not have the greatest 40 time, but he is fast. And he plays fast and aggressive. That is my type. That is my type, and he is that. And his burst is insane, man. It's like when he wants to, you can tell the difference between a guy who can run in a straight line and a guy who has burst. Chaz Surratt has that burst. And for someone that's new to the linebacker, his instincts are good, man. Like you see him use his instincts in the run game, but in the pass game, playing QB, you're going to have some ideas of coverages. I think that may get a little overrated, but he's got those instincts in coverage. Now, his instinct can get him in trouble at times because he'll take a chance, but I always take a chance on those guys. Really good in man coverage. You see him in man coverage. He's a beast. Run fits aren't great, but I think that has to do with a little bit of overcomplicated reads. Where the scheme and these college systems where you have a lot more guys pulling and people motioning, where in the NFL, it's like everyone's fast, so you can't get away with all of that stuff. So he would benefit, he would fit perfectly in here, as that linebacker role next to Blake Martinez. I think he'd be awesome. And he has pass rush ability. A lot of these guys, they can, they can rush the passer if they're free and they can time it up right. Chaz Surratt can time it up right, and he can also pop dudes. You watch him go up against running backs like Travis Etienne, and he pops dudes, man. So I love this guy. He's inside linebacker 4 for me. He's been falling down draft boards since the season ended. But I am a Chaz Surratt fan, and these people in the chat are saying, oh, he's 24? I'm about to ban all of you because I'm not dealing with Chaz Surratt slander.
What's his biggest critique?
He can miss a tackle sometimes. He has short arms. And that he's 24, I guess. Hmm. And then size. But like I said, after those top three, everyone, like, no one's really big at that spot, you know? And if they are, they're slow and they suck, you know?
How is he doing against shedding blocks? I think that's also a critique.
He can get washed up, but again, I think he can deal with, he needs experience with that. He counters that by playing aggressive though, and with instincts and winning with angles. Again, you know, there will be times where he can get blocked, but a lot of guys can too. So again, he's not in that top three range, like that top three range. I do think there's a difference between those top three guys and the next ones. But He is inside linebacker four. And again, people say he's 24 years old. He's learning the position. It's his second year playing linebacker. His age should have nothing to do with it unless you're talking about his second contract. But as on a rookie deal, I have no issue with him being 24.
Right on. This dude's been your dude for a long time. So you typically, your dudes, and I know you watch Surratt over and over and over again too, to make sure that you're confirming and you're backing up your takes too. So
longest breakdown of the draft season is Chaz Surratt, 30 minutes. Go watch it.
Wow.
And it got freaking demonetized because XOS. Screw you, XOS.
Screw
but
you.
We want to be nice to XOS too. You know, we don't want any people being mad that we may be mean to XOS.
All right, we love you, XOX.
Just kidding. XOS. Screw XOS and Wyatt Davis. I'm doubling down.
Talking Giants versus World. Zavon Collins, Tulsa, 6'5", 259 pounds in 2020. He had a total of 59 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 4 interceptions. Kind of wild, kind of crazy. Only 8 games, though. 2019, he played 12 games. He had a total of 97 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, no interceptions. Fun fact, 2 of those 2020 interceptions were returned back for touchdowns. Also had a couple passes deflected as well. Zavon Collins, my plus-plus category. Not sure if there is a linebacker in this class that combines such good size with unexpected athleticism. Like, you look at this guy and you expect him to be like your average day 3 big linebacker who can't move. But Collins 100% can move. He has solid range and he can chase down plays as a backside defender. Does a great job blending into throwing lanes to make plays on the football in coverage. He is very, very patient. The size of a linebacker from a decade plus ago, similar size to Brian Urlacher, but incredibly, incredibly smooth. My plus category looked really good and natural coming off the edge. Good bend for an interior linebacker. Maybe he can take more snaps there as a pro, get more pass rush snaps. I don't know. Really think he can do it a bit more. He would need to develop some pass rush moves, though. He has some kind of like a good bend, and he just does a good job of getting the lineman's hands off his torso and the front side of his body. So he's a former QB and tight end, Bobby Skinner. I know you like your guys that that change positions. Shout out Chaz Surratt. My minus category. Think sometimes his patience can be a detriment. His feet can be stuck in cement sometimes, and he allows linemen to get their hands on him. Bobby, and this is also something too, I want to see him more as a bully rather than a finesse player. Like, dude, you're 6'5", you're 260 pounds, you have the size to be a bully, and he's a solid tackler, but he doesn't impress me as a tackler. I don't want to call him a bad tackler, but it's just one of those things where it's like, dude, you're this athletic, you're this big, you should be like a bad mother effer, and I don't feel Collins is. Overall, I feel Collins is, though, what the Giants wanted Devon Kennard to be for them. A linebacker in a 4-3 system who can rush the passer when called upon, but also does a lot of other things well, too. Like, I think Collins, for his size, for him to be so good in coverage, I think that's very, very impressive, and I think that's also very, very rare. There is a step down from the Parsons and JOK territory, but Parsons is still a like-it player for me, who is very close to a love-it player.
Yeah, he does everything really well. I do agree with your critique that sometimes he can be a little too patient. But yeah, he can do it all, man. And that size is real. And I do think that size makes a difference. I went back and rewatched him because I watched him very early in the process and was like reminded, like, okay, yeah, this is why this guy's linebacker 3. So I really like Zavon Collins. I just do think he is in that middle range where it's like he won't be on the board at 42 and we're not going to take him at 11. You know, I think Parsons and JOK are clearly better than him, but it's not like they're like in a whole nother world where it's like it can't even be compared. Although I do think they're both clearly better than him. So I like Zavon. I haven't really got invested in Zavon, but yeah. And like you said, he's new to the position. I give that benefit to Chaz, and he can get better at that. And just the way he destroys blocks, and once he does hit a gap, man, it looks effortless the way he closes in on a back, you know, where it's like this ended up being a 5-yard tackle for a loss, and he made it look like he just walked to him, basically. So that's the type of stuff Zavon does. All right, next on the list, SEC, linebacker, Mizzou. Nick Bolton, 6 foot, 232 pounds for the Missouri Tigers in 2020, 95 tackles, 8 for a loss, 2 sacks. 2019, 113 tackles, 8.5 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, 2 interceptions. He is aggressive, but he's a little inconsistent with his aggression. You know, sometimes he sits and waits, and you can tell he might have some issues processing the play a little bit. But when he is aggressive, he blows plays up, and it's beautiful. Great speed and range and pursuit for a linebacker. There's a couple highlights of him where, you know, a back is getting on the edge, and especially at the goal line, where it's like, oh, I'm getting to the goal line, and he just closes, man. And when he does close, he delivers a really big hit too. And that's the type of stuff where we're talking about all these players and their role they'd fit. I think Nick Bolton fits into that inside linebacker 2 role better than anybody else. Like he was built for the role that he could play with the New York Giants. Not like I said, not the best at reading offenses. Just very disruptive in his run fits. You know, can blow up gaps. Now, in the coverage, his zone instincts suck. Like, he can be good at coverage and he can learn and get better. You know, he's not a player where it's like, oh, he just doesn't have the athleticism to get in coverage. But he screws things up, you know. There was a play against Alabama I did on the breakdown of him where it's like the guy ended up dropping it. Like, but this is a touchdown because Nick Bolton screwed up this zone read. So he needs to keep his eyes out of the backfield a little more. And play routes. Like I said, reads the running back too much instead of his gap. Good agility, and then really good at scraping over the top of blocks. So Nick Bolton, you know, I think he's a top of the second round player in, for this draft.
You shared on our socials a play of his at the goal line against Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt's probably going to be pretty familiar with him, and that was the caption. Dude's a brick wall. Like if you're moving, you know, if you have a running back who's moving downhill, you got a Bolton who's screaming down the line of scrimmage, and these guys are meeting. Bolton's winning that battle, and he's not allowing any ground. People love this guy. People really love Nick Bolton.
I love him too. He's number 5 for me after Chaz.
We got
there's a huge Chaz. Like argument going on about age in our chat, and it's really annoying me. I'm just gonna say that. All right, keep going. It's the first time the chat's ever annoyed me.
Okay. There was one time where our Patreon chat was fighting, and we didn't, and that was bad.
All right.
This might be the second time. But I don't think they're fighting. I think they're having, are they fighting, or are they having a nice
conversation?
They're
not fighting. There's just like, it's just this debate about age, and it's just, I don't know, it's just annoying me.
I'm very self-conscious about my age. All right, next on my list. Jabril Cox from LSU, 6'3", 232 pounds in 2020, was a transfer from North Dakota State, so only has 1 year on College Football Reference. 37 solo tackles, 58 total, 6.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 interceptions, 5 passes deflected. Jabril Cox, LSU, my plus-plus category, handles all coverage duties LSU asked him to do. He can run with tight ends down the field. He can cover bubble screens coming out of the backfield. Even some wide receivers down the field as well. There was a couple reps where he was covering some wide receivers. He has great instincts in coverage and mirroring ability. It's hard to fully see on TV angles how good he can be, but I'd say he is one of the best coverage linebackers in this class. He finished with 26 passes deflected and 9 interceptions in his college career. Can't imagine he can fit both in a man-heavy scheme and a zone-heavy scheme. If he continues to develop, he will easily be a 3-down player in the NFL. My plus category already knows what it's like to progress in progress, that's probably a bad word. Basically, take a jump up in competition level from 1 year to the next. Like I said, he transferred from North Dakota to LSU, and he didn't really even miss a step. Played a lot better off ball at LSU as well. My minus category, plays upright and a little too high. Seems to hesitate and think about where he has to go instead of just going and reading or reacting in the run game. Seems more comfortable and faster playing as an off-ball linebacker / outside linebacker than from the inside. Overall, Bobby, I loved Willie Gay last year, but I'm not in love with Jabril Cox as much this year. I feel bad that I don't like him, but he plays very hesitant. And again, this is a guy that, you know, I feel like for how physical he is, how big some of these linebackers are, how physical they are, I want to see more out of him. And this could just be like a me thing this year where I'm being like tough on him. I can very much see an NFL team unlocking him and a coaching staff allowing him to play a lot faster, because I think he does have those athletic traits. And he is very smooth, but he is a like-it player for me, Bobby.
So you like Cox?
Yeah. Sign me up.
Okay. Now, serious. Jahreel Cox, I really want to like him. I always go for a guy who's fast and play coverage, you know, and I can sacrifice a little bit. But people are falling in love with that too much, because his run issues are very real. And it's not just simply lack of experience, lack of physicality, it's both. Again, like you said, he's hesitant, he's very late, and, you know, he gets blocked kind of easily. His run issues are very real. And I think they're being underplayed right now by the large majority of people. So when I see him in the second round, that worries me. I view him as more of a project than a, like, let's go in right now. Again, in coverage, you put him in man coverage, probably plays man coverage better than any linebacker in this class. Besides maybe JOK. But just playing the linebacker spot, I know that the league is becoming more passing, but you got to have some run ability. And his is really bad. So that is my worry about Jahreel Cox, and it's why I'm not high on him. And he's a player I would like to be high on, because, again, that coverage ability is so real. But his run issues are very real, and I feel like they're being underplayed at this part of the draft process.
Yeah, and like I said, this is one of those players where I can easily see a coaching staff unlocking him, right? You know, he didn't have all his years. He had only 1 year of top-level, collegiate-level ball at LSU where those coaches can coach him up. So I can very much see a good coaching staff kind of unlocking him at the pro level. And it's rare to have a linebacker that covers as well as he can, that can play both zone and man and with really good mirroring ability. So I could see a coaching staff unlocking Jahreel Cox, especially in the run game, where he easily can be like a three-down player of the NFL.
All right, Justin. Well, speaking of unlocking Cox, with the first pick of the 2021 men's grooming draft, the Ball Saxonville Saguars, this is just ridiculous, select Manscaped, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Looks like Mel Kiper gave this an A-plus grade, because this pick is a major upgrade for the Bush defense. Devin Bush. There's a joke I made, and I made it on a Simple Man Radio mock draft a couple years ago. I can't make it on this podcast anymore. We have an exclusive 20% off promo code XXX at manscaped.com.
No, that's not it. The code is Giants.
Well, for me, it says XXXX.
That's not the code.
Well, the code is Giants. Hey, it's at the end. It says Giants, but for in the intro part, it says XXXX.
Oh,
don't type that in.
A lot
in.
Of X's.
Do not type in that into your computer.
Don't Google search
it. It is promo code Giants. So yeah, I mean, Manscaped's real. I want to make the Bush joke, but I can't. It's very insensitive. The reason why Manscaped is a guaranteed number one pick is because of the performance package. You're talking about nickel package, sub package, you know, 4-3 package. This package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle for your grundle. Inside the, I'm ad-libbing like crazy right now. Inside the performance package is the lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The ceramic blade and skin-safe technology reduces nicks and snags on your saggy bag. This is the dong defense that you need. You know what? I told them, I was like, you know, the puns aren't like that great for the ad reads. I'm wrong. These are making me laugh every time. This package also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. I know this is the best tool on the market for nose and ear hair. I actually used that the other day for my ears. It looks good. You can't really see my ears because they got my real hair on top of them. But it's good stuff.
Take an ear pick. Put it on Twitter.
Yeah, I will. The Crop Preserver's anti-chafing ball deodorant. You got the Crop Reviver where you can spray on toner for your balls. I mean, I put that on to go to the beach the other day. This stuff is real deal. And for a limited time, buyers of the performance package received not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, $39 value added, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing boxer briefs. Support the show and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GIANTS at manscaped.com. They also have a ton of other amazing men's hygiene products on their website, from disposable mats to your pubes to foot deodorant. Get 20% off and free shipping with code GIANTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code GIANTS. It's time you upgrade the defense with Manscaped. How'd I do?
Perfect. Just like you.
Thank you. All right, next on my list, a guy I fell in love with late in the process, an underrated player, an underrated linebacker from Georgia. Tell me where you heard it before, my friend.
What? Where did you hear of this guy from? Who recommended him to you?
I mean, I was going to watch this player regardless, so...
Oh, okay.
I promise you. I just saw a Georgia linebacker. I was like, we already have a steal at linebacker from Georgia and Tay Crowder. I'm going to look at this guy, and it's Monty Rice. 6'2", 238, so he is short, but he's thick. He's got that 238-pound weight on him, even though it's 6 foot. In 2020, in 9 games, 49 tackles, 4 for a loss, 1 sack, and good numbers in 19 and 18, too. Another fast Georgia linebacker with good instincts. Shout out to the Georgia linebacker coach. I think his name is John Schumann or something. I looked it up earlier. He's a beast. The Giants, you know, hire that guy. If we're going to keep adding coaches, add that guy. I know he's co-defensive coordinator now. Again, he's short, but he's thick. You know, some guys are short and skinny. He's thick, so I don't really worry about him being 6 foot. Naturally quick. Naturally quick where you can sit, pounce. Counts, you know, he's not overly aggressive. You see him go through traffic, and I have a breakdown that's coming out on him at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. He maneuvers through traffic. It's like, how did he get through all that? How did he get through that, stay square, and make the play? Takes on blocks, and he deconstructs them with his hands. A lot of players can't do that. You know, that's one of Chaz Surratt's struggles, is deconstructing blocks head up with his hands. Monty does that. Very aggressive in coverage. His coverage skills are real deal. When he's in man, he's in your pocket. He can get grabby sometimes, you know, where it's like, you know, he might get called for a penalty here or there. But, like, you know, there's plays lined up against Kyle Pitts and Kyle Pitts and speaking of fast cars, Kadarius Toney. Aggressive under coverage, but sometimes if they run a rub route on him, you can get him in man. Always looking for the routes and zone. Again, speed and acceleration make him a good blitzer, too. Like, you'll see he had a strip sack. In fact, we're talking about similarities to Tay Crowder. He has a strip sack return for a touchdown versus Tennessee, just like Tay Crowder. And he just stays square in the run game. This player is underrated. So, maybe you're not a, you know, whoever you're a fan of and you're listening to Monty Rice, I finished with the video off with saying this, is don't think you overdrafted this guy, because you didn't. He is being underrated. I don't know why Georgia linebackers keep getting underrated, because Monty Rice is a real deal.
Love it. Love it. And, you know, he combines that speed with, you know, he at least in, no, this says under 10% missed tackle rate in his career. Despite in 2019, he had 16 missed tackles, but he also had a total of 72 tackles. So I guess that rate is pretty good. And throughout his entire career at Georgia, less than 10% missed tackle rate. That is pretty darn good. So he combines that speed with pretty good tackling ability as well. So you love to see it. All right, next on my list, Bobby Skinner, is Baron Browning, Ohio State. He is 6'3", 245 pounds in 2020. He had a total of 29 tackles, Big Ten, so they play limited games. 29 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack. In 2019, he had 43 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, and 5 sacks in my plus-plus category. When you combine his speed and size with his football smarts to play in coverage and recognize the men in his zone, Browning is a very, very enticing football player, and he's very, very fun to watch. Speed coming off the edge, he has it, and he does a good job of taking advantage of bad technique. He's a great tackler who isn't afraid to get his nose involved in a play as well. Very versatile. Played almost like a JOK role, both inside and outside the tackles. Not really JOK, where he's like lining up like as a legit slot corner, but think of like that role of like outside linebacker, but playing like outside the tackles. Yes, and
splitting the wide receiver and the tackle.
Yeah. So my plus category is solid burst and quickness that puts him in a good position to make some plays. Vastly improved in 2020 compared to his previous years at Ohio State. Played much more loose and natural in 2020. He has a high motor. He chases plays throughout the entire field. My minus category, you see this in man coverage sometimes. Browning sometimes reacts instead of anticipates some moves. So he's playing catch up. Maybe he's grabbing a guy that's running past him. I want to see him take on blocks better as well. Some scouting reports are very, very harsh on him as well when talking about his instincts. So, Bobby, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. I mean, you know, we're only watching, you know, 2-3 games. So, I don't want to, like, kill his instincts, but some scouting reports were unusually pretty harsh on Browning with that. Overall, I feel like Browning had almost a JOK role, like I said, but he has the body and the traits of a light Micah Parsons. He is one of the most intriguing mid-round prospects and draft picks in terms of this strong linebacker class, and he is a love-it player for me. I'm going to give him that designation.
Really? Okay. I don't kill his instincts, but I do think he, you know, one of the notes I have on him is put him in a system, tell him to hit a gap, and let him go. Because the more he thinks, the more issues he has, and he is slow to react at times. But he has, like, all the ability, and that kind of stuff you can get better at. So I do, some people have him as, like, a first-round player, and I think that's kind of crazy. But, like, I just don't see him as that, you know, and, like, all the guys I talked about before I have ahead of him, I know it's a deep class, so I like all these guys, and I like Browning. But he is a, like, hey, you just need to let him go. And then also, like, you know, JOK, you talk about him. In the open field, he can be kind of take some bad angles, too, with Browning.
Right on. Right on, right on.
All right. Next on my list. Another guy people are falling in love with. And it's because it's pro day. Let's be real. I mean, one, you look at him, he's 6'3", 234 pounds. You look at him, and he has like a 25 pack. Like he is a chiseled human being. At his pro day, he ran a 4.37 40 with a 42-inch vertical jump, which is just nuts. Jameen Davis, linebacker out of Kentucky. In 2020, he had 102 tackles, 4 for loss, 1.5 sacks, 3 interceptions. And was pretty new to the position. Like he was new to the position. But he has elite tools. And so that's why people are falling in love with him. He has elite tools. The speed is there, but he doesn't flash it much. And that's my issue with Davis. He needs to be more aggressive. I understand he's new to the position, but err on the side of being aggressive than sitting there. Cause it's just times where it's like, dude, you have all this speed, you have this strength, you have this ability. And it's like, you're just sitting there. Go. And something I noticed is with him, he has more assisted tackles than solo tackles. And, you know, you don't just look at stats, but that means something, what you mean. It's because he's not going to be the guy that gets there. Sometimes he's the guy that gets there second. But the good stuff. He can destroy blocks effortlessly, playing through and getting vertical through an offensive lineman. Again, needs to be more aggressive. His eyes are just stuck in the backfield. And part of that is him processing slowly. Solid tackle, doesn't have a feel for coverage, but also Kentucky's scheme had a lot of under where it's like you weren't having to turn your zone into man a lot, where it's like you kind of could play a zone because there were so many people playing that underneath coverage. So he was covering small spaces instead of big spaces where you have to be more aggressive and instinctual. So again, Jameen Davis isn't a project player because he comes in and plays right away, but he's got some stuff to work on. He needs to be more aggressive and get his eyes out of the backfield. Which is nice with the Giants this year because I do feel like the linebacker role is like, hey, we need someone to come in, play their gap and go hard and fast.
Bobby, my next guy is somebody who is naturally extremely, extremely aggressive, and I'm very much in love with him. Cameron McGrone from Michigan, 6'1", 234 pounds in 2020. Again, Big Ten limited season. 26 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, half a sack 2019, 65 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. In my plus-plus category, he plays the game at a different speed compared to everyone else on the field. This is the guy that I actually watched last because I legitimately thought that he was going to be 6th on my list. I'm including him 5th, but I guess, you know, how I rank players in like my brain is different than how like I enjoyed like watching players. I enjoyed watching JOK the most. I enjoyed watching Cameron McGrone the second most out of all of these linebackers. So it doesn't mean that he's the second best player. He's not better than Collins, but it's just a player that I enjoyed watching the second most. So he plays the game at a different speed compared to everyone else on the field. He has great range. Bobby, you've said that, you know, a few different guys on your list would be like the perfect interior linebacker 2 fit for Patrick Graham. I think this guy would be the perfect interior linebacker 2 fit as a guy who can just hit a gap and go. He can take on blocks, yet he still has the speed to get to a ball carrier in the backfield, which he he has that track record at Michigan. My plus category, he's naturally very physical and a very good form tackler. Wraps up and bites the ball. I'm a sucker for a good form tackler. Can play full speed. Finds his gaps through a running scheme and locates the ball carrier by himself. For some linebackers, doing one of these things is hard enough, let alone all three. To play at full speed, to find gaps through your running scheme, and to locate a ball carry. He does all three of those things, I feel like he pretty well. Takes good angles, understands blocking schemes where he needs to be, like I said. Minus category, limited production and lack of coverage abilities. I mean, the lack of, like, his coverage abilities is almost non-existent. However, he is a love-it player for me because an interior linebacker 2 system where you're running 3 safeties the majority of the time, and I may be misinterpreting, you know, the exact personnel set, and I may be undervaluing the impact of an interior linebacker 2 in Patrick Graham's system. I could be very well doing that. But instead of taking, like, a Nick Bolton in round 2, right, where he's an interior linebacker 2, and we feel really good about that, we feel really good about his aggressiveness and then go, go, go attitude and mentality, I think I look at it from a value standpoint where, okay, we're going to be drafting a guy round 2, and what is he going to get? Half the snaps, 60% of the snaps? This guy, I would feel very good about Cameron McGrone being a 4th-round pick for the Giants, him getting 50% of the snaps, 60% of the snaps maybe, and just a go, 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 go knock somebody's block off kind of guy. He's a love-it player for me.
Yeah, I like him. You know, I look at the size. Does he just not look smaller than everybody else we talk about, though?
He does. I mean, frame, right? I think the phrase scouts like to use is frame. But here's also the thing. If you're playing like a bat out of hell and you're playing harder than everybody else around you, you know, I like that. And I guess it's easier to hide in the collegiate level. But I don't like to project that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like you mentioned the coverage. They, you know, he's not going to get asked this in the NFL, but there's like some tight end 1-on-1 reps, and like he was getting moss. It's like, but also it's like when you can ask your linebacker to just go 1-on-1 with a tight end, that doesn't happen anymore. So I like McGrone. I'm not as high as him on as you are, but I do like McGrone. And what's a really good linebacker class. All right, last guy I'm talking about, another Big Ten player. Switched from edge to inside linebacker in 2020. So 1 year at the position. Part of that, I think, is because he's a tweener at 6 foot, 238 pounds. Derek Barnes, man, this guy seems like a perfect fit for Patrick Graham because he does have that edge experience. And he switched to inside linebacker, and I thought he played pretty well in 2020 in 6 games. He had 54 tackles. Now, he only had he had 0 sacks, 5.5 tackles for loss and interception. Where in 2019, playing the edge, he had 7.5 sacks and 11 tackles for a loss. Obviously, double the games, but, you know, going, you would like a guy that was playing edge to get more than 0 sacks playing inside linebacker, but there's a lot that goes into that. Good blend of strength and burst. You know, he's not going to win with, like, that straight line speed, but he does have good burst. Strength shows up at contact. He pops dudes, you know, and that's where it's like, okay, this guy played some defensive line. Like when he's you know, making contact with a lineman, he brings the pop. I mean, his hands are heavy. Again, he played edge. Now, he doesn't really have a lot of pass rush moves. It's a lot of bull and pull type stuff where, you know, he's not showing off the hands a ton, but that's a lot better than guys who didn't play the edge and will play that inside linebacker reps. So again, he doesn't have those moves. Good hand fight. Going to struggle with bigger, stronger offensive linemen, but that was more at the edge spot than it was inside linebacker spot. Had some issues setting the edge. And again, this is a lot of edge stuff right here. But also, I do think I know we're talking about inside linebackers, but I do think he fits in as an outside linebacker with Patrick Graham, where it's like, hey, you're rushing the pass and you're dropping back into coverage. You're doing a little bit of both. You know, he'll get some inside linebacker reps, but I don't see him playing like full-time inside linebacker like a Tay Crowder would.
All right, right on. Final guy on my list is Dylan Moses from Alabama, 6'1", 225 pounds. What a fall from grace. I was ready to put this guy at the start because this is a guy that we looked at in May. That I looked at in May, and I was ready to put him at like number 3 on my list because it's like, oh yeah, he we were projecting him to be kind of good, and he probably had a good 2020. Oh boy, what a fall from grace he had. In 2020, he had 76 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 1 sack. When Bobby Skinner made that note about the solo tackles versus assisted tackles, so Dylan Moses is one of those guys where he has 40 solo tackles and 36 assists. So the split in the ratio is kind of 50-50, which, is that concerning? Is that a thing? I don't know. Take it as you wish. My plus-plus category, he is a plus-plus tackler. Only 13 misses on 192 career attempts. He has very good sideline-to-sideline athleticism. Despite struggling with injuries, he is one of the most experienced linebackers in the class in terms of snaps played. He does have legit ability as a pass rusher. Even had reps where he put his hand in the ground at Alabama, and he was quite productive there as well. Plus category, Alabama's defense took a step down without his presence in 2019. Also hurts they have to play LSU a couple times. Obviously, and they were pretty good this year with Dylan Moses back. Does a good job of forcing runs to the outside, even if he doesn't make the play, and stays square when defending the run. My minus category, he can be caught staring at the QB's eyes too often in coverage instead of just feeling who is around him and when he is playing zone. Not the most reliable in pass coverage. Also, he doesn't push himself on every snap. It does look like he takes plays off. There's a difference between other guys like Cox and Collins on my list, where I'm like, I want to see more out of you, but I wasn't questioning their effort. Moses, I'm like, dude, why you could make a play here and you're just not. Overall, when trying to think of positive attributes for Dylan Moses, you are mainly creating your talking points around his athleticism that he has not fully untapped yet. You watch him in 2018, you watch him in 2017. It looks like he has the potential of a guy to grow into one of the best linebackers in the draft class, but he just never took that big step up. As a mid-day three pick, you have to feel good about taking a chance on his athleticism, but Moses, he comes in with an injury history and some risk. However, the upside, it is kind of tempting. Dylan Moses is a like-it player for me. Mel Kiper, by the way, before this season, had him ranked as like the number one linebacker ahead of Micah Parsons. And now we're talking about him as like a fourth-round pick.
A fall from grace for old Dylan. And for Mel Kiper, who we just talked about in an ad read. All right, that's an episode. We'll be back Friday talking offensive tackles. And then Monday, wide receivers. And then we're doing the damn thing. Next episode is draft day. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Friday. Watch all the draft breakdowns. Appreciate you guys. Until then, let's go Big Blue.